What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. You guys get some good milt over the weekend?
A little bit. About half.
It was nice just being able to get out and walk a little bit. Fall on your ass.
I didn't do that.
Didn't you?
No.
Too busy bench pressing?
Yeah.
Do some push-ups outside?
Yeah. No, inside.
Deadlift your car?
Yeah. Only when it needs to.
Who was it? Was it Jeremy Allen White? This was a video from, months ago, where he was jogging, and then he noticed people were taking video of him jogging, and he dropped down to do, like, 20 push-ups.
Oh, geez.
I don't see Terrell Owens. Really.
To be funny or to show off?
I don't know.
Had to be to be funny,
that's a,
right?
That's a big swing.
It really is.
Maybe it's, like, just the irony, like, okay, if you're going to take a picture of me, I'm going to show you what I got. Like, I mean, it's kind of funny.
But do something crazier. Like, do the electric slide or something if you're trying to get people's attention just to be silly.
Of course he was running with his shirt off.
Well, of course.
So, yeah.
God, when I was super into bodybuilding when I was like in college and I was at my girlfriend's house for Thanksgiving and I went into her brother's room who had like a weight set like you, like the plastic cement things, and I pumped up for Thanksgiving dinner and I came upstairs and he goes, because I met her through him, we were teammates on a baseball team, and he goes, dude, you have a real problem. You have a real problem. And looking back, I had a real problem. Like at the time, I just thought, yeah, you know, got to get the guns going.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I love it.
You got to impress the, maybe they're going to be your in-laws or something.
Maybe. Yeah, I did a pretty good job of getting rid of that. I was insufferable.
Yeah.
I was that guy. There are these two twins called the Barbarians back in the 80s who were bodybuilders, and they were known for wearing combat boots and flannels in the gym.
Oh.
So, of course, I did it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And anytime, like, I remember one time I was at a restaurant, and someone asked if they could have the stool next to me, so I picked it up.
Oh.
And I know. Trust me.
Dude.
Not good. Not good.
I don't know. I'm pretty impressed.
Thanks.
I'd be like, look at that guy in the flannel. He just picked up that stool.
The guy in the flannel.
He picked up a whole stool.
You have a short sleeve tee on?
Oh, yeah.
Did you
always did.
You pull up the sleeve a little before you?
Roll them, pull them up. Yeah.
But at the time, though, that was a thing.
For
like,
sure.
That was, like, if you do that now, you're like, okay, buddy.
Yeah.
But, like, back then, like, in that time period, 70s, 80s, right? 80s?
Yeah.
80s, rolling up the sleeve was a thing.
It was.
Now Kevin has to cut the sleeve so his arm fits.
Hey. Sorry. You weren't supposed to see that.
When Dave said, like, Kevin's, like, the plastic and you filled it up with the cement, I was like, are you implying that Kevin has a little plastic weight set? Like a Fisher Price.
Oh.
That's what
No. No, they look like, right, it's just like concrete surrounded by plastic because it's old. I have old stuff.
Yeah. Everyone
it's
had
in
that.
Great condition, though. It's, like, awesome.
Keep those things are expensive now.
I know. I'm thinking about redoing the whole room.
Yeah.
Like, getting rid of all that stuff and just getting a machine, like one of the really good ones.
Maybe get a two-way mirror where people can watch it.
I don't need any mirrors. Just a machine and a mat on the floor.
How loud is it in that room when you're...
Not that loud.
Like, do you crank
not a big
the
grunter?
Corn?
No, I don't now because normally I do it like when I'm watching football or something. Like, because the TV's right in view of that same room, and I have a TV in that room also. So it's kind of a good sports watching, kind of casual...
My worst one, Ron, is I used to do most of my working out at the SIU gym, and it was packed, and I was doing dumbbells for my arms right in front of the mirror. You know, everyone's right there.
Yeah.
And I put them down, and I flexed, and I passed out. and I could, I could feel it, right?
Oh.
And so, boom, I hit the ground, and I pop right back up, and my workout partners are like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Why wouldn't it be okay?" And they're like, "Dude, you just passed out." I'm like, "No, I didn't."
So wait, you flexed so hard, yes. You passed out.
Yes. Yeah, all the either I had no blood in my head or whatever it was, but so I think that's the only time I've ever passed out. It's a weird feeling.
I hate passing out.
It's the worst.
And just like when you trip and then you act like you meant to, that's what I did.
Awesome. You passed out. No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
No,
we
all
didn't.
Saw it.
You
did
passed
you,
out.
Did you
no,
make
I didn't.
A noise
I was doing an up down.
Like when you flex, like.
That was just my version of a burpee.
Like, were you making a noise like a little kid or a face or something?
I don't know. I mean, it's bad enough is that you're flexing. Like, no one should flex at the gym.
Yeah. No,
unless you're in California and you're a professional. You just shouldn't do it ever.
Do you know what else I feel
unless
like?
Yeah, unless you're an actual, like, professional bodybuilder, right? Right, right.
Yes.
People my friend's gym has a posing room.
A what?
All mirrors.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, the right, mirrors are important because you do need to check to make sure you're doing things correctly.
Yeah.
And depending on what you're doing, you have to know that you're doing it right if you're working a certain thing.
Just the room. There's no weight.
I still have these Polaroids. I'll try to find them. Where I had my mom take photos of me flexing. So she's got a one-step camera thing.
Yeah.
And I was doing my bat wing lat pose.
Yeah.
And I'm looking back at her and I'm saying, "Get the bat wings." And my mom, Frances, is just like, "I am trying." She was a gamer, man. She's curling my hair. She's taking pictures of my lats.
There is an actual picture out there that has made the rounds on like social media of a guy posing like that kind of in front of a mirror. And in the mirror, you can see his mom is taking the picture. That's awesome.
It's pretty great.
That's awesome.
That was
it's pretty
me.
Great. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about there's a lot of, TikTok content and Instagram reel content of people who set up the tripod at the gym and they're filming themselves and then they get mad because somebody walks into their frame or something.
Yeah.
It seems to me like that should not be allowed at any gym anywhere.
No.
While I would have 100% done it in 1985, I hate it now.
No,
it's awful.
It should be something you have to get specific permission from the gym to do.
Yeah.
Because you will be inadvertently, the other people will 100%. Be in the video and they're not giving you, unless you're getting a release from all of them. And saying, "Hey, I did this video. Are you okay if I post this and you're in the background?" Because that is not okay.
No,
it's not.
I mean, and I, like I said, never in the gym except for when I've done like the treadmill or now that I'm injured. But I would not want to be on anyone's video running. And that's why I'm glad like running outside, you can't see yourself. Every now and then you run by a building with like glass and you see your reflection and you're like, "Oh, you just look like slow. You look like you're just slogging along."
Also, nobody should have to go around you.
No.
Yeah. Right,
your like stupid camera?
There are areas to walk that are pathways. You should be able to walk anywhere, anytime. Mm-mm. In the gym.
No cameras.
Right.
By the way, like, who's going to watch your stupid workout content?
I don't know. People do.
Other people's? Like, why do you care?
Let's be honest. Come on, we know it's mostly dudes watching hot
girls.
Ladies.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
With their bottom exercises.
No one's watching as close as Amy.
He's bringing it back to the butts.
Big fan of those butt crack pants now. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, my gosh. Do I? I'm like, I those I'm not a fan of.
The butt crack pants?
They're weird. It's like they painted the pants on.
Yeah.
You can see, it just looks like two butt cheeks hanging out.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it's kind of the point, right? They weren't designed for any other reason.
Feels a little inappropriate.
Yeah, we could be a little more subtle.
Yeah. I'd agree.
Why wear pants at all?
Yeah.
Because that's gross.
That'd be like the dudes in there doing the banana hammocks while they're lifting.
Yikes.
Oh.
What?
Nothing.
That's what those Speedos are called, right?
They have hammocks in the gym.
Yeah, it's full of bananas.
Andrew just turned to a hammock.
We all had a...
See, that's you got. You got a home banana hammock gym.
Get some of those in my living room.
Lay in your hammock and eat a banana.
The original.
Andrew and his banana hammock.
Somebody say hammock.
Yeah, you really perked up.
Well, he flies into the room like Kramer. Door flies open. Who said hammock?
I was going to point out that Kevin said that and then forced that image into all of our heads and then went, What's everybody reacting to? It's like
I thought you guys all knew that. That's like,
oh, we do.
Okay. We do. We just weren't expecting to have the mental
image. I know
image.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
He's not here to hear it. He's in Cancun. But happy 30th birthday to my lovely son, Nick, yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday, Nick.
30 years old. That's something.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
Crazy.
He's half a Dave.
He is a half a Dave. Yeah, I kind of like that. Like, all me and Nick and Phoebe are all on the tens. So when I turn 60, Nick turns 30, Phoebe turns 20. So it's easy to keep track of.
It's very easy.
Nice.
Yeah. It's good.
I saw this thing, and I was asking Phoebe, I think it was probably TikTok, but it was, who will linger the longest at your grave? And I asked her that, and at the same time, we both go, Nick. She's like, I'll be like, what hell of a guy, what's for lunch? You know? And Nick will, he's my boy. He'll be there longer than anybody.
For me, it'll be Amy.
She'll be like,
she won't leave.
Waiting for everybody to leave so she can say all the nasty things.
And another thing.
Yeah.
You always dismissed me.
She'll be there with a stake and a hammer just waiting to come back.
Be like an airing of the grievances.
All the stuff I didn't get to say.
Amy, he's coming out of this grave. I know it.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Amy's salting the earth.
With the wooden spike.
Back in January.
She has a lawn chair.
Yeah. Oh, I got notes, buddy. I'm going to read it over your grave. They're like, you should probably go home now. I'm not done.
I have more grievances to air.
I'm not overreacting. And you're wrong. Well, you nailed it. He was right.
The earth starts to rumble.
Who's that lady yelling at the graveyard?
Poor thing.
Yeah. Who's buried there?
Ma'am, we're closing now.
I'm coming back tomorrow.
You brought a sleeping bag.
Who's the angry lady in the boot?
She's waiting outside
still
the gate
injured.
At 5 a.m. for the
yeah,
cemetery
still injured
to open.
Because she won't
oh,
stop.
Oh, man. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She runs a lap around the cemetery and comes back and keeps yelling.
I knew this guy. He was a friend of a friend, but my buddy always brought him around, and he was a runner, and he had some sort of knee injury.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, this guy had a knee brace for like 12 months. So we just started calling him Knee Brace.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's no way you're still hurt.
Yeah, you're asking for that nickname.
Yeah. She's Amy's going to be in.
That was the best you had?
She's going to be in this boot for.
I know. I should have gotten the boot earlier, is what happened. Because now I'm like.
Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, I'm behind day one. I've lost ground. But it is weird. This is my first injury, like real injury ever. I've gotten hurt. I've never gotten injured. This is the longest I've had to take off from running. I've never broken a bone. I've never sprained my ankle. Like I said, I've rolled it, but it never stopped me from running or playing hockey, tennis. I've never been injured. And so. Yeah, I'm not good at it.
And it's hard for us to relate to because we all care so little how much we exercise, and it's driving you crazy.
Like, oh, I'm in a bad spot. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's funny because I'm like joking I'm in a bad spot. But, oh, I mean, over the weekend, over the past couple weeks, and I've had friends who, you know, who get it, like reach out. Yesterday, there were a couple points where I'm like, I think I'm just going to cry and then.
I don't want to be injured, but if my doctor said, Dave, I really need you to just be on the couch for 2 weeks, I'd be like, rock on. Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's permission.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
Well, I can't take the boot anymore, and I started this
I told
morning
Amy
at eight.
Last week.
It's already.
If she had that injury as a football player, she'd be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Unless I'm Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a playoff.
Yeah, but he
game.
Didn't have the, you know, grade two.
We all agreed to try to keep the boot secret from you.
Yeah.
Because we knew you'd spike the ball.
I did already.
Yeah, I know. We saw it.
In the office, yeah.
She was late for the segment because you were wearing her out.
I know. You got to listen, man. We're trying to come back from break.
We were all talking about it.
Well, but she also can't move very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just berate her all you want.
I got to follow her here. She can't get away now.
So we had to tell Amy, we had to teach her how to just walk out. Just leave.
Yeah.
If Kevin won't stop talking, just turn around and leave.
And he demonstrated it because I was talking to him and he.
But it was a friendly conversation.
It was friendly. You were kind about it. You didn't spike the ball too hard.
No.
You really didn't.
I did that last week.
You were, yes. I feel like you've been meaner. Until I got the boot. And once I got the boot, I feel like you were very, I thought he was very generous.
You.
Yeah.
Hope your recovery goes well.
Thank you.
I just don't want you to do the same dumb things I did when I got hurt.
Well,
I was the guy that, but I guess I joked. I did that when I was 20. You know, you get away with things when
he's
you're 20.
You should have more sense than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been hurt before. I'm new at it. No, he was right. But I will say, to his credit, I feel like he's been much meaner in the weeks leading up, and he didn't yell at all. He didn't yell at me today.
No.
He was super nice about it.
I saw
it.
The boot. Yeah. I'm like, oh, good. Progress.
Yeah.
Finally listened.
Trying
to
help. Came to your senses.
I did see him do a little, like, fist pump.
No, I didn't. Just trying to be helpful.
Oh, you know he's going home and just bragging to Susan.
Yeah, so I told, her.
I told her.
So anyway.
Oh, do you think she's going to listen to me do that?
Guess who was in the boot?
No. If anyone knows how to walk out of the room with Susan.
Yeah, exactly believe, right.
You'll never believe who put the boot on.
She doesn't even have to walk out of the room to walk out of the room. Just she knows how to turn it off.
Susan just hears.
Yeah, as she should. She is well practiced and like, oh yeah, good. That's nice. Very nice.
Kevin probably does sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Susan.
She's got a comically big pair of noise canceling headphones.
She's got those flight deck noise canceling.
She's just shaking her head. Yes.
Mm. Oh yeah, sure. Mm. Good.
Oh. I don't know why I always feel the need to tell people this is one of my favorite songs, but I just love it so much.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
This band.
Yeah, right?
So good.
We have a short little segment here, so I'll just do something weird. You ever... people do like dopamine restriction, you know, like they'll go without something for a really long time so that it feels so good when they do it. I didn't do that, but last night I woke up so thirsty, the only kind of thirsty you can be when you have a big fan blowing right on your face, mm-hmm. which I do. But I was cozy and I didn't want to get up and get a drink. But then I remembered I had real Coke cans in the fridge. So I went downstairs, cracked one. It's like 2 a.m, drank like half of it and went back to bed. And I was like, that was like a trip to Cancun. It was so good.
I don't know if I've ever, I've woken up in the middle of the night to get water, but
never
a can of Coke.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I recommend it.
That's wild.
I know.
It didn't keep you up?
No.
You probably fell back asleep before like the real effect of the sugar and caffeine kicked in,
yeah,
maybe.
Probably the handful of trazodone I took with it, but, and washed those pills down with something.
That'll do it.
No, I decided a few months ago I was going to switch from aspartame to real Coke, mm-hmm. and from Splenda to real sugar in my coffee. And then I told my doctor that, and he just laughed at me. And he's like, yeah, let's go back. He's like, jury's still out on aspartame. Jury's in on sugar. Avoid real sugar. But I had a few left, so.
I thought it was pretty clear that the artificial sweeteners trick your body mm-hmm. in weird ways.
Oh, I'm sure they're both
bad. I thought that was done.
I think I'm a... real sugar and moderation fan. That's I don't do any of the fake sugar.
Can I tell you something, Amy, that's going to really offend you?
Yeah.
I mean this honestly.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time I had a drink of water.
No, that's not true.
It's absolutely true. I don't remember the last time.
No.
Yes.
Is it because you have a bad memory?
No. It's because I make bad choices.
What the hell?
I feel like we need intervention. Can I go get you a glass of water?
Sure.
Dump it on my head.
Can we do it as a stunt, like in segment? We're going to make Dave drink a glass
of
water.
Dave's going to drink a glass of water on the air.
Yeah, no, not proud of it. And in fact, I'm going to Amazon and getting a Brita, one of those.
Well,
a little more than people need to know about my water drinking. But yeah, I realized that today.
Wow.
I don't remember the last time I had a glass
of water. At least Amy's not judging you.
Right.
Damn.
That was so genuine.
What are you? You have Alzheimer's? Is that why I don't remember?
I was trying to give him the benefit of a doubt.
Nope.
What are you, stupid?
He must have Alzheimer's.
He's got Alzheimer's.
Of course he's had water.
Something's going on.
Yeah. Clearly he's drank water.
Oh my gosh. I just died. Part of me literally died.
I knew it.
I think it's the part in the boot.
You take that off, you're all necrotic.
Oh my gosh.
You tell Mason Jar, if only David drank some water, I wouldn't be like
this. My foot would still be alive.
My foot would still be alive. Will your foot atrophy? Yes.
I mean, yeah, your muscles are going to atrophy for sure. Yeah. So that's not great. Good news is I didn't have big muscles in my foot. But yeah, my ankle, yeah.
You need to drink some Coke.
It'll fix you right up.
Fix you right up.
Yeah. 134 DJ has on Cable X. Tomorrow, a little housekeeping. I will be here until 1:30. And then I am leaving to go to Bethesda, where Mike Bush is going to interview me about my work with NOTA, the hospice stuff. Speaking of Mike, this gets me into what I want to talk about. Last night I was watching him on the news, and Frank was talking about what the Cardinals have and haven't done. And I love Mike so much. He's such a cool guy, but he's rarely animated. You know, it's Mike Bush. And he was like, they haven't done anything. They haven't done a damn thing. And then I saw The Athletic gave them an F. For what they've done during the offseason so far.
They've done nothing. I mean, all they really did was let people leave. You know, they have a lot of it has been tied up in trying to get to move Nolan Arenado. But you know, we've been kicking this around, the Gas House Gang guys. We've been like wondering, are they waiting to do anything else until they move Arenado, or is there just not that much interest from other people in Steven Matz or other people you might be looking to move? But it's not a normal year. You're not really looking to add much in free agency. If they add anything, it's going to be probably like a lottery ticket that might help in the bullpen, somebody that's going to come in on a one-year deal and maybe be good, maybe not, but it's not going to be a big money, sure thing kind of person. So it's been weird that it's as quiet as it's been. But some of it is out of their control. Because, you know, if you're making trades as your primary means of moves, well, then you got to have other teams that want to pull the trigger. And, you know, we know that Arenado already shot down one deal to Houston. There are other teams that are possible. Boston is still cooking in the background. But a lot of those other teams are tied to Alex Bregman, who's a free agent, and he hasn't picked a place yet. So it's just it is strange. And we're all trying to figure out, like, is it simply that they need this one thing to get done before they do anything else? Or is it that everything is stalled? Like, if you want to trade Steven Matz, you might have to wait till the free agent starting pitchers are gone, and the people that lose out on those guys would then come back to you and say, okay, we're interested in Steven Matz for $12 million.
I think it's got
to
be everything is stalled, because you're not just waiting on Arenado before you do anything. You do what you can do whenever you can do it.
Right. I will say their willingness to add is probably connected to their ability to subtract. Right. So if they don't move money, they're probably not going to add money, because they are still trying to reduce the payroll from where they are today. The easiest way to do that would just be to trade Nolan Arenado, eat some of that money, but have the other team take on, you know, a good chunk of it, if not all, if not most of it, a good bit of it.
Do we know that they're actively shopping Michaelis?
No, in fact, I don't think they are. They did the same thing with him as they did with Sonny Gray and Contreras. They asked, actually, you know what, I'm trying to remember what Derek Gould, because Derek has a piece about Miles in the paper today. It might have been in the paper yesterday. I read it last night. That I'm not sure that they approached him, in part because he has a no trade. He seems to want to stay. He's been very clear in that he wants to stay. His hometown, he grew up in Jupiter, and he lives there all year. So having spring training where you live is also a big attraction, right? I mean, that's 6-7 weeks of not having, of not having to be somewhere away from your family. And he's a hard guy to move, because he's got the second worst ERA of any starting pitcher for the last 2 years combined, and he makes $18 million. So it's a really hard player to move. And if your goal is to move money, you're going to have to eat more than half of that to have somebody take it.
I've asked you guys this before, but do you think professional athletes, and I'm sure it's person to person, personality to personality, do you think they feel guilty about that? Cashing a check for $18 million, knowing you kind of low key suck?
Some of them. Yeah, some of them, because then they feel like people are looking at their salary and the fact they're not performing, and then they feel bad about it. They feel like they owe the organization or the fan base something. But I mean, naturally, I think that you would, right? You'd feel like, I'm just not living up to the contract that I signed. However, if you're looking at it logically, if you're one of these players, you probably played for 3 or 4 years making far less money than what you were contributing.
Yeah.
Because if it led to you getting this contract, you didn't get paid until that contract, but you did all of this service for that team,
right,
and they got you for cheap. So it all evens out, but it's still difficult psychologically in the moment to feel like you're not living up to the deal.
Because you're getting the heat.
But they shouldn't feel bad.
No, they shouldn't feel guilty, but I can understand feeling like you're letting people down. So that's actually something that Miles talked about in that in the piece that Derek Gould has in the Post-Dispatch, that he doesn't want the lasting feeling for Cardinals fans about him to be good riddance when his contract's up, that you feel like you owe them better than what you've given them. So I think that there's definitely that. I would say guilt is not the right term, because you in a way, you've earned it, because in sports, you don't tend to get paid until after, right? You get paid after you've already achieved. And by then, as Ronj pointed out, when you're only making $700,000 a year, but you're performing like a $20 million player,
right,
you know, you're not getting paid that till later. So you've earned it. You've put in the time. You've put in the performance. You don't get paid that if you haven't. It's just a little bit more of a it's in some ways it's weird, because teams are paying you the most later in your career when you're most likely to decline, but they're not paying you anything when you're young and you're at your most productive, which is, yeah, again, a little odd. But
not surprising, but a really classy move of Goldie to take out that full page spread, thanking the Cardinals Nation. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate guys that go to that effort. It's not a lot of effort, and for them, it's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, this is where I think sometimes players get things better than teams, and a lot of teams get this better than others. But you have, and I think the Cardinals get it better than a lot of other teams do, that it's not just a regular business. Because if it were, a lot of these businesses would be closed, right? If you ran a restaurant the way that the Pittsburgh Pirates have run their team, it would have been closed 20 years ago. You don't survive in a normal business.
Restaurants don't get revenue sharing.
Right, they don't get revenue sharing, but they also don't have the irrational, emotional attachment to them that you get with a sports franchise. And that's what, you know, that and it's not always irrational. It's just an emotional attachment that you grow into, usually from the time you're a kid. So when you see that a guy like Goldie gets that, that's awesome. And when you see teams that act like that, where they understand that if it were any of the other businesses that these owners own, it would already be in bankruptcy, right? But when you share TV money and you share some revenue with other teams, you can stay alive. But also, you can stay alive because there are still millions of fans watching you who, if you were any other business, they would stop going to your business. But, you know, there's a little built-in
lifelong attachments.
Yes, there's a built-in advantage that owners of sports teams have. And that's why it bothers me when certain teams, like Pittsburgh, like the Oakland A's, well, now the Sacramento A's, when they're run more of a business to make money for their owner rather than as something that's more of a public trust.
Yep. I say this all the time. Anytime an owner says, oh, man, we're taking on all this risk to do this and that, if you don't want to have that risk, sell your team. Because every single owner in professional sports, maybe not the NHL, there might be some franchises that may not, but if you're in baseball, football, NBA, any owner who sold their franchise today would make a lot of money on their investment. Every single one of them.
Yeah, the only
so
way
I don't,
you
I don't,
don't
ever want to hear that argument
the,
from
the only
them.
Way you don't is if you end up selling too quickly for reasons of your own problems.
Yeah, right? like Donald,
if you bought it 5 years ago, like Donald Sterling. But he made money. He made crazy money because he was all. But like, if you were like the owners of like the Phoenix Coyotes and you bought the team 10 years ago, but you screwed it up and you had to turn around and sell it really fast, you may not make as much. But when you're a team like, you know, the Cardinals, just as an example, the Cardinals were, I think, with the grand total that they were into this after they sold off the parking garages was like $200 million, and it's like a $2.5 billion team.
Yep.
And it's a $2.5 billion team that might get to $3 billion if it was an open market bidding process. So, yeah, it's that's happening relatively quickly. In what other part of business or what investment could you take that amount of money and turn it into $2.5 or $3 billion in 20, 25 years?
To what degree, kind of a weird question, but to what degree do you think, because sports are so huge, so much passion, to what degree do you think getting them in childhood is important?
Oh, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once you are a fan of something when you're a kid, and then you see that thing every single year, it's hard to lose that attachment ever. So, I mean, you're a built-in customer for life if they get you when you're like 5, 6, 7 years old. Yeah. It's huge.
I mean, think about
that's why they do. That's why they have mascots. That's why they have things like Fred Bird to get the kids interested, and then they do the Cardinals kids show or whatever stuff like that. It's because hooking them at a young age, like drugs, that'll keep them around forever.
Let me tell you about. We used to have a big Memorial Day party in the neighborhood, a couple hundred neighbors, and we'd get a band to play. And one time, someone booked Fred Bird. And so here's 200 people eating barbecue and hanging out, and all of a sudden here comes Fred Bird. And everyone loses their minds for about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sort of passed. And this is when I was about 10 years into my career, and a cold chill went up my spine. And I was like, if Fred Bird can only hold attention for 10 minutes, I'm sunk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was just amazing to see.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, oh, you're biting my head. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Fred Bird bit my head when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
And I have a, Amy knows, I'm jealous because I have a photo of him doing it. And I thought that I was the only kid he did
that to.
He'd
never done.
He thought he was special.
And then I realized he did it to everybody.
That's his move.
Yeah, it's his move.
He's been heartbroken ever since.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
I know, right?
Yeah. The hundreds of thousands of children he did that to, and I thought
what
it was
if that
just
was the
me.
Thing that hurt Ranji so bad it made him into what he is?
I know. I think it is, honestly.
Is that what led to the germophobia? You're like, oh my god, he did that to all those kids before too, and now he did it on my head.
No, his beak.
No. It wasn't the germ thing. I felt betrayed.
Oh, I got you. Emotionally hurt.
I thought he liked me more than the other kids.
People always ask who picks our music. They love our music, and I'll give Rage 80% of the credit. On days like today, she's doing the like Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, right? Just programming all the music. So nicely done today. We have this Google Doc that all the guys in the show put down their suggestions for topics to talk about. And I always love Andrew's because they're very Andrew-centric. And the one on top says, I realized today that I have an unreasonable Dave-style hate. First of all, it's not great when you have your own kind of hate. Secondly, until this very moment, coming back from break, I thought it said hat. And so I really wanted to know what sort of unreasonable Dave-style hat was in your life. So, who you hate?
Will Ferrell.
Oh, man.
Really?
I know.
Why?
I saw his...
Was it the Buddy the Elf thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And his thing that I saw, I don't seek him out, but sometimes he is sought out to me. And he was in some of our show prep today, and it said, like, he was like, they were like, why'd you do that? Why'd you show up as a drunk, cigarette-smoking Buddy the Elf to that hockey game? And he was like, sometimes I just like to stir it up, you know, make people, some stupid thing like that. I was like, shut up!
Yeah, that's pretty Dave-style hate right there.
Pretty unreasonable,
very unreasonable.
Well, and by all accounts, he seems like not a super nice guy in general. Yeah, he's really difficult, apparently, if people, like, try and talk to him, like fans or whatever, if they see him out.
Really?
He's pretty unpleasant about it, which is fine. He has the right to be that, but I also have the right to be like, hey, man, you suck. And then I thought the thing between him and Adam McKay was, like, super petty, like, you know, decades of being like writing partners and producing partners and stuff, and then Adam McKay does like one thing that Will Ferrell doesn't like, and Will Ferrell's like, all right, we're done forever, I'm never speaking to you again.
What was the thing you didn't like?
He wanted to be in the Lakers show. He wanted to play what's his name, the coach,
Phil Jackson.
Yes, I think he wanted to play Phil Jackson in the Lakers
Ooh,
show.
I gotta watch that second season.
Watch that. What's that called again? Showtime.
Winning Time.
Showtime. Winning Time.
Oh, Winning Time.
That's
it.
And he wanted to play that, and Adam McKay went with somebody else instead. And Will Ferrell was like, well, that's it. I'm never speaking to you again as long as we live. And according to Adam McKay, he has not spoken to him or returned any of his messages or had any contact with him at all. I find that to be petty. I find that to be hateable, frankly.
Here's my thing about Will Ferrell. I think he's fine. I think he's fine.
Yeah, nobody asked you, but okay. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying he's... Well, nobody asked you either.
I actually
that's a good point.
Did.
Nobody asked you how you felt about Will Ferrell.
Actually, Dave did ask me
No, he did not ask you
only
how you felt
because you
about
put
Will
it on
Ferrell.
The paper.
Yeah, you put
you
it on
asked
the paper.
To be asked.
Yeah, you should put it on the paper.
I don't have to.
You should put it on the paper.
But he's fine. He's like, he's not my favorite, and I know people think he's awesome. I don't think he's awesome. I don't think he's terrible.
His time has passed.
Right? Like, I think even at the
like
time.
Like his peak.
Ouch, that's even meaner than what I said.
No,
I
mean, like, me.
Look, no. The,
I kind of agree, Andrew.
No, the world has turned and left him behind.
I like Will Ferrell, but you can't just be the same character forever. Otherwise, people
Tom Cruise
past
can.
It. Yeah, but Tom Cruise is just like a spy. You know, he's an action spy. He's not. He's not trying to be a funny guy. It's hard for funny guys to stay funny. I mean, don't you see? How many of the people that were like that were really big, and they were just funny, 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 and it stayed that way for a long period of time? Like Jim Carrey switched. He stopped being funny guy, and he started doing more serious things. I know Will Ferrell's done some of that too. Robin Williams switched from being super crazy funny guy to really good actor. You know, Billy Crystal made that switch.
Shtick?
I think it's it. I don't think it's any fault of theirs. I just think it is the way people are. Like, yep, seen that guy before. It was funny 10 years ago or 20 years ago, and now it's the same thing as it was.
There's a shelf life.
Yeah. That's all I mean.
That's a good point. There probably is a shorter shelf life with comedy. Because as Jerry Seinfeld said, which I completely agree with, he was talking about stand-up in particular, it's self-policing. You know, you can be in a dramatic movie and people disagree.
Right.
But when you're trying to make someone laugh, they either laugh or they don't.
Right. I mean, think of Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was as funny as anybody's ever been for a stretch, and then it just stopped.
I think it depends on your type of comedy. I think if you are like a Jerry Seinfeld observational comedy, I think that's going to have a longer shelf life than the arrow through the head Steve Martin, who has said, he's like, oh, I would never make it today. That was a type of comedy that
right.
was popular then, and he said it's not funny now. But there are certain, like George Carlin is still pretty funny because he had that observational human experience comedy like a Jerry Seinfeld would have, which I think has a much longer shelf life
yeah.
than a this is funny right now.
I think it's very similar to music. You can't do the same thing forever, otherwise people move past it. So you either adapt or you're just one of the special ones.
Because mm-hmm.
there are some that it just stays that way. But that's the rarest of the rare in both of those industries.
All right, you guys get out of here.
See ya.
Take your time there, Aim.